You people are horrible.
Welcome to Heist and Slice, a true podcast where... a true crime podcast. We are a true podcast, too, but a true crime podcast where one week we talk about a heist and the next we talk about a slice. This week is a heist.
Shelby. I'm Shelby.
And I'm Nora.
Welcome to Heist and Slice.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
We took a hiatus.
Yeah, because my cat chewed the mic cord, so... But we're back! And
we... Better than ever.
Yeah. And we got listener mail.
Woo! We did get listener mail on Facebook.
Yeah.
From a man, from a gentleman in Ireland.
Dublin.
Dublin, Ireland.
Yes. His name is Ken. So thank you for listening.
Thanks for your feedback.
Yeah. So you're our first fan mail that isn't our parents or
sister. Our parents or sister.
Yeah.
Or the cats.
Yeah. So, sweet! We have a listener in Ireland.
It's so exciting.
Yes, I actually have a few Ireland heist plans, so...
I thought you were going to say you actually have a few questions for you.
Oh.
She probably does.
I am. Will make it to Ireland one day. Love Ireland.
In her dreams.
Even though I've never been there, but I feel like I would love
it. Did your parents go?
They went to Scotland.
Scotland.
Yeah.
Like, for the...
But me and Brooke were going to go this year, but you know...
I thought y'all were going to go to Canada.
Well, it changes. I really want to go to Dublin, though. But it would be cheaper to go to Canada.
True.
So, anyway, podcast. So,
podcast time.
It's a heist-a-roni today. And it's going to be kind of short because I couldn't get, like, the whole background information. But it's a hoot and a holler. So, we're going to go with it.
Okay.
So, we're diving in. All right. So... at the time, this was considered the second largest heist in U.S. history.
Okay.
Just U.S.
So we're in the United States. So
we're in North Carolina.
We haven't been in the United States in a heist in a while. Have we ever?
We did the Texas one.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we did the first one was Kentucky, and then we did another Kentucky
I said in a while. No, I don't know why I don't say it. Have we ever what?
Okay, anyway, so.
Did you see a ghost?
No, stop talking to the ghost.
Okay.
So.
Where are you at, Danny Phantom?
I had a huge crush on him when I was a kid.
I did too.
Right?
That you know what? There's a conspiracy theory about him that he's Timmy Turner.
Okay, podcast.
Sorry.
Tell me about it later. Podcast.
Okay.
Okay, so we're doing the Loomis Fargo heist. Have you heard of it?
Loomis?
Loomis.
Like
Loomis
light?
Fargo. Okay. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay. So we're going to talk about David Gant. And this is in 1997. David Gant is about 27, 28 years old at the time. He's been working at Loomis Fargo for a couple years as a vault supervisor. At this time, they were understaffed. So he was working 60 to 80 hours a week. He was working weekends by himself. And he was working long hours. And he was also in an unhappy marriage.
Oh, so he's overworked and under...
Appreciated, I guess.
Yeah.
But, and he's a redhead, which...
What did that have to do with
it? I have to tell you about this because it makes sense later on in the podcast. Okay. But he's like a hick, redhead, white-skinned,
you know. It's my brother. Okay.
Yeah. And he had a mullet, so...
It's my brother's dream.
This will all make sense when I hear this story.
Okay.
So, while he's working there, there's another employee that comes in called Kelly Campbell. She is married with some kids.
To the gingerbread man?
No.
Okay.
No. She's married with some kids, and her husband's name is... What was it? Oh. Spanky.
Like, really Spanky?
Yeah.
Oh.
Her husband... Spanky.
Somebody's parents liked Alfalfa and the gang too much, didn't they?
Spanky.
Spanky.
So, anyway.
Alfalfa's best friend's name was Spanky.
So, she's working there for a while, and her and David kind of hit up a friendship. And in November of 1996, she leaves Loomis Fargo to be a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
But they still talk and everything like that. And so, one day, they're kind of chit-chatting, and she's like, you know, it'd be kind of easy to steal some money. because you're there by yourself all the time. Mm. Not a lot of people. You're the vault supervisor. You have all the keys.
So she puts it in his brain.
Yeah. So she also has another friend, Steve Chambers, who is kind of a low-time criminal. Like, you know, he's a criminal, but he ain't good at it. Mm. So.
Like the wet bandits.
Yes. So they kind of get to talking, and they're like, all right, let's pull David in, and let's do a heist.
Okay.
Okay?
And he also works there, right?
No. This is David's the only one that works there now. Kelly used to work there, but now she's gone.
But the friend does not. That's what I was asking. Right. Okay.
So, Kelly goes and talks to David, and David's like, you know what? I'm in. He was kind of in, like, a shitty place in his life, so he's like,
fuck it, let's do it.
Let's just do it. So, they have a plan. They're going to rob Loomis Fargo. Okay? And this is Loomis Fargo and Company. It's an armored cars that manage large sum of monies between banks in North Carolina.
I was fixing to ask you what it was.
Yeah. I meant to say that earlier.
I assumed but it was they, some kind of light business.
They moved millions of dollars regularly.
And do you know why?
Huh?
Do you know why I assumed that it was a light business?
Why?
Like a light company? Oh. Because Loomis is the spell from Harry Loomis. Potter.
Oh. But they moved money, millions of dollars regularly, and David was only making $8 an hour.
Oh.
So I'd be kind of salty too.
Yeah.
But anyway. I would be anyway. Good. So here's the plan. On October 4th of 1997, after his shift, David would remain in the vault, and after it was clear, he would let in Steve and Kelly. They would load the van as much as they could, and then David would take $50,000 to Mexico and hide out for a while. So this redheaded white boy
to Mexico.
Was going to hide out in Mexico.
Okay.
While Steve stayed and counted the money, and then Steve would wire David's half of the money to him in Mexico. So that's the plan.
I mean, it seems legit.
Does it?
Sure.
Here, you go in there and rob, and then when you come back out, you run with just a little bit, and I'll stay back
with all the money. Obviously not, but I feel like he's going to go for it.
So, October 4th, 1997. David sends the person that he is training home and disables two security cameras, and he takes the tapes and puts them in the van. Okay?
Okay.
Now, Steve and Kelly are waiting outside. So, David is inside at the vault loading the van. Takes him about an hour. And this cash weighs like 2,000 pounds.
Hmm.
He ends up getting $17 million.
Oh, wow.
$17 million.
How'd we go from $50,000, buddy, to $17 million, bud?
He ended up taking more than they planned to take. But he was like, I'm there. I was loading it. I just kept going until I couldn't get no more in there.
So what I would do.
He gets the van out, and he meets up with Kelly and Steve. Okay?
Steve and Kelly.
Somewhere in the process, there's a key ring of 200 keys on it. And they drop it, and the car, the van with the money in it, the armored car, is closed. Like, shut, so they can't get in it. And they drop the keys. And so they have a key ring of over 200 keys, and they don't know which one goes to the van. So they start, like, trying to break the windows of this armored car, and they can't get it. So finally they have to go through 200 keys until they found the right key.
Oh, my gosh.
To go into it, right? Okay. So now they got $17 million. They're out. He took two of the security tapes, put them in the van. This motherfucker worked there, okay? He was the vault security guy. He didn't know there was three cameras.
Oh, gosh. How do you not know that there's three cameras and you're the one that watches them?
He didn't know. There's actually a quote here. Let's see if I can find it. I didn't even know about it and overlooked it. And he worked there. There was a third camera.
That's some good security. Lewis.
The FBI had the whole thing on tape.
On tape.
Like, how do you work there and not know there's a third camera? Girl, it still picked up that sneeze.
Dang, I tried to mute it.
Anyway, so now they have the money. They have $17 million, okay? So they only take this truck, like, a town over. So 45 to 45 minutes from where they robbed it.
Okay.
So then they take...
And they stopped. They just... Yeah. They didn't keep
going?
So they
got another van that wasn't the company van.
Okay.
And start loading money into this van. Well, it turns out David took too much money, so they end up leaving the van with $3.3 million in it.
What?
And then they just leave.
Please tell me that somebody got some of that money.
So it didn't take FBI long to get there and find the van that also had the two other security tapes.
Oh, my gosh. So the... well, so, not only was this one of the biggest heists, but it was also one of the dumbest heists.
Oh, it gets better.
Okay.
So then David gets $50,000.
Out of the millions that he stole. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Out of the, what is it now? $14
million? Yep.
Because they left 3.3 behind. So he gets $50,000, and Kelly takes him to South Carolina to fly out of the airport to go to Mexico. But nobody checked that airport is not flying out of Mexico.
Oh, gosh.
So they go to North Carolina, and he takes a bus to New Orleans. Okay?
Okay.
So then he has to go. He has to spend a night in a hotel, and then the next day after the heist, he ends up in Mexico. This red-headed white boy ends up in Mexico. With $50,000. Okay. So now this is where we're going to split off into two different stories. We're going to talk about David, and then we're going to talk about Steve.
Okay.
And Kelly, the people that stayed behind. All right.
Where's Kelly's husband during all this?
I don't know. Okay. Chilling at home with the kids.
Okay.
Spanky.
Spanky.
Living his best Spanky life.
Spanky had a part in that.
Okay. So, Steve, being a criminal in the past, knew that they needed to, like, not spend a lot of money, but as soon as they had that money in their hands, they couldn't help it. So they start going on this crazy spending spree. They buy this mansion in a really nice neighborhood, and they start, like, one of the things they bought was a velvet painting of Elvis.
Wow.
All
I can't
tell
how
stuff,
much that cost there.
They had, okay, so his wife also knew what was going on, and... So this is kind of funny. His wife goes to the bank to deposit some of this money. And this is a quote. This is what she said. "How much can I deposit before I have to report it to the feds? Don't worry. It's not drug money."
God.
End quote. And then she hands the teller a suitcase of money that still has the Loomis Fargo bands on it. And so... Of course, the,
So, is this how teller, they caught?
Well, this is how they kind of know who the other accomplice is.
Okay.
So, the teller kind of alerts the feds. And they're like, okay, we need to watch these people. So, then they start tapping their phones on February 11th. So, this is what the heist happened in October. So, 4 months after. They've kind of had a watch on Steve and them because they've just spent so much money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they're just spending crazy, crazy amount. He would call up jewelry stores and be like, "What's the most expensive thing you have in the shop? I'll take it." Like that kind of stuff. Just ridiculous,
nice.
Ridiculous stuff. And they had like really tacky stuff, like the Velvet Elvis.
The Velvet Elvis.
They had cheetah print rug everywhere and just all this stuff. Now, David, on the other hand, is living in Mexico at this point. And he said, he walked into Walmart and he goes, "I don't have to shop here no more. I got $50,000 in my pocket. And I got more on the way." So he says his biggest purchase was that he went and bought 4 pairs of boots.
Are you kidding me?
For him.
This would be something that happened to my
life. And all I can think about is Reno. when Dangle's like, "I'm just goofing. New boot goofing." When he gets his new ostrich boots.
Poor guy. He was the one that took the money, too. And he got the short end of the deal.
So while he's in Mexico, every other week, he would use a payphone to call Kelly and talk to Kelly. He would only talk to Kelly. He wouldn't talk to anyone else.
Okay.
And no one knew where he was in Mexico. They just knew he was in Mexico. He was in, I'm going to put how do you say it?
I have no idea because I don't know what you're trying to say.
Cozumel, Mexico. Cozumel? Cozumel?
Cozumel?
Yeah. Mexico. He did.
Cozumel.
Okay. Well, that's where he's at. Okay. So. So David's calling to have more money wired to him. At this point, Steve kind of wants to be done with him.
Oh, man.
He has this loose...
No,
loose,
Steve. Cut his losses, huh?
Yeah. So there is a recording of Steve talking to Kelly, trying to get Kelly to tell him where David's at. Because he hired a hitman to take
out
David.
Like, he really wanted to cut his losses.
He wanted David gone. So he hires a hitman. And so they're talking about using cyanide to take him out, and then they're talking about using a gun.
Damn, that's a felony right there.
So this hitman goes to Mexico to find David and to kill him. And so the feds at this point wasn't really sure what happened to David. Like, half of the people thought David was dead. The other half, no idea. They thought he was still around, but they didn't know where he was at. So this hitman goes down there and meets up with David. And they start hanging out, going to the beach.
Okay.
And all this stuff.
So does David know that this is his hitman, or do they just become friends?
They become friends.
Okay.
So he got lucky. This little redheaded boy in Mexico. It's just... So that didn't work. But by following the hitman there, the feds was able to get David.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of how they found him. Crazy. Man.
Poor David. Well, not really,
just
because he shouldn't have followed the group. I really need to see what this man looks like.
I totally went off my notes, too, because... anyway. So they end up becoming friends and doing all that stuff. And then...
my brother at all.
Also, when they watch the videotape of Gant stealing this money... After he gets the van loaded, he does a little dance.
No, he doesn't.
All I can think of, if you ever played Crash Bandicoot, when he gets back from a portal and has a diamond,
oh,
and he does his little
dance.
Like, I just imagine that's what David Gant is doing. He does a little dance.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious. I still can't get over the fact that he worked there and didn't know there was 3 security cameras there. So, anyway, we're going back. And so, Sunday, March 1st, 1998. I think this is 5 or 6. Let's see, October, November, December, January, February, March. 5 months after the heist, the FBI arrests David in Mexico.
Did they arrest the hitman, too?
Now, after...
We don't know.
The case, like, everything's done. They end up indicting 21 people.
Damn.
So, wow. David, and then Kelly, and Steve. But Steve had a whole operation going on. Like, he had family and friends coming in, helping to launder the money. He had people going to different banks to deposit the money, which David had no idea about. So David thought it was just those 3.
Right.
And David also had a huge crush on Kelly.
Obviously.
And so when he got arrested and they were flying back to Mexico, the FBI agent asked him why he did it. Like, what was so great about it? And he said, honestly, nothing happened between me and Kelly except that we kissed. And it changed my life forever. So, he just got one kiss. And, of course, his wife left him at the time. There is a movie about it. It's called Masterminds, and it's pretty freaking hilarious. Zach Galifianakis plays David, and then Kate McKinnon plays David's wife in it.
Nah.
And it's like the best character
I
in that whole movie.
I love Kate McKinnon.
It is so funny. David also helped consult on the movie. He didn't get paid for it because he owes so much money.
Right.
So he just did it for free. And he said the movie is pretty close to what actually happened, except there's like a confrontation at the end between him and Steve that never really happened. They just did it for dramatic effects.
When did this movie come out? That sounds like it's
2006,
newer.
I think. Mm. No, 2016. But Owen
that's
Wilson,
a whole 10 years.
I'm sorry. Owen Wilson plays Steve Chambers.
So it has
Kristen
to be
Wiggs
pretty good.
And it's fun. It's so funny. Oh, but anyway, back to the story. So David Gant ends up getting 7 years. Steve and all the other people involved in it, they got various times because they also got laundering.
Right.
And attempting to murder.
Yeah, like, I'm telling you, that, especially if there was a recording, that that attempt to murder, that hire to murder thing is a real deal.
Yep.
Yeah. First off, I feel like it would be hard to hire somebody to murder someone. Listen, I once dated this guy. I can't tell you his name, but you know which one. Anyway, he had a stepdad who literally did that.
What, murdered somebody?
He was a hitman. His mom left him.
Sometimes I learn too much about you.
That was a joke.
I don't think so.
I feel like I should tell people that was a joke. Maybe we should cut that out. Anyway, it may be not real because this person was an avid liar, but he told me some things.
What's his name start with?
Yep.
Ah, oh, I knew it!
He was like, that's why you don't really ever see him around often. I don't believe it. And I was like, what do you mean I don't ever see him around? He's always here. He was like, how do you think he gets money?
Nope.
And I was like, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Lies. Anyway, so that is the Loomis Fargo heist. This one was a short one, but I thought it was funny. And poor David Gant. Oh, yeah. Back to David Gant. I'm all over the place tonight.
It's okay. People can
pause. I've been working 12 days straight, so...
And we're back from our hiatus. Yeah. So.
I'm a little loopy. Anyway, so David Gant spent 6.5 years in federal prison. He is now living in Florida. He has a wife and a daughter now.
Go, David.
And he works construction, so he got a job.
Oh, good.
Good. Now,
I feel bad for you a little bit, David.
$2 million is still missing from this.
Well, I mean, they left a truck.
And the security cameras.
I mean, come on.
I think my favorite part is the fact that he did this little dance afterwards. And I'm pretty sure, because I watched the movie not too long ago, I'm pretty sure it's Zach Galifianakis who plays David.
I'm going to watch it. I wonder if it's on HBO.
I don't know. But it's so funny. Did a little dance. It's just so hilarious. And when the FBI talks about it, they're like, yeah, they did a lot of stupid stuff. But when you think about it, they pulled off the second largest heist.
Right.
And he said during the phone calls, because they tapped in on their phone calls, he said they never mentioned David Gant's name and they never said Loomis Fargo.
Really?
Yeah.
So they really couldn't just hit him with it all of a sudden. They had to fuck up
real. But the biggest thing is that as soon as they got the money, they started spending it like crazy. And then his wife goes into a bank and be like, it's not drug money, I swear. But it's got Loomis Fargo stuff on it.
Ignorant.
Yeah. So.
So what did we learn? We learned that we should always take the wrapping off the money.
Yeah.
We should always check for the third.
Don't take more than you can handle. Always dispose of the security cameras.
Don't let somebody else talk you into taking the rest of the money.
Right. And if you work somewhere, be aware of where the security cameras is.
Especially if you're security.
For the vault? How do you not know there's three cameras?
Oh, but David, if you're listening, well, kudos for the second.
Yeah.
The second highest amount of money stolen in the United States.
I don't know if it still is, but it was at the time. Because I think that year was also the largest one happened as well.
Even
the
though diamonds there were the some dumb mistakes.
Yeah. But, hey, you didn't get killed. So.
Right.
And
you must be a very, very nice person.
I mean, in the movie, they portray him out to be like just this really
normal
country guy that, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Very nice guy, always helping out.
Dawson Alden.
Yeah. But he just was tired of his job, and so he stole $17 million.
Please.
Why? What's your. I didn't even hear it.
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
All right.
I just said my little brother's full name in there. I feel like it don't matter. Come find me.
Okay. So, shoot. That, crap. It's been a long week, so this one might seem a little catawampus, but,
Catawampus? Did you make that up?
That's a word.
Okay.
It's when things are kind of all catawampus. Like, uneven and wobbly and jumbly. Catawampus.
Say it. Say it as you're making it better.
It's a word.
I mean, I believe you. That part is I'm an English major, so.
It's a common word here in Kentucky.
Catawampus is not a common word.
We said it all the time in college. He'd be like, that's all catawampus. That ain't right.
That's all catawampus. Well, if you listen, I'm gonna start using it.
I mean, it's in a Carrie Underwood song.
You're talking to somebody who says Ohio instead of Ohio. So
he also said ass instead of ice.
No, I say ice.
Who says ass instead of ice?
I don't know.
Maybe it's Kayla.
But I say ice, and I say right and night. And
I tight. Say right, bright, winder, yeller. It's okay, anyway, back to
it's yellow. It ain't even yeller. It's yellow.
It's yeller.
That's a dog.
You're a dog.
Old Yeller was a dog.
Yeller.
It's yellow.
Yeller.
With an A.
It's yeller. Okay, anyway. Again.
We digress.
Welcome to our podcast. Heist and Slice.
Send us some fan mail, y'all. Shelby called me at like 6:45.
I was so excited. Thank you, kid. You made my day.
She was like, did you see our message? And I was like, no.
It's not from a family member. I said it's from someone in Dublin, Ireland. How freaking cool.
And it's not our friends, because our friends technically don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah, either, they don't. But the listener request that we had was Nora's dad and my sister's. So, yeah, no, it was nice to actually get some listener mail.
Next week's slice isn't going to be as dark either. So. Yeah.
Last week was
we're going to have a little fun rough, with it. So.
Rough. Rough.
Rough.
My God, I'm so tired.
Anyway, send us fan mail to our Gmail account, heistandslice@gmail.com.
Or Facebook Messenger.
Right. Man, that was awesome. And yeah. Then what else we got? We got an Instagram, heistandslice podcast. That's it.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if there's anything else.
We're not going to get food after this. We've already ate. So.
Yeah, we did. We had stuff. Okay, so.
Have a good night, day, wherever you are.
Good night. Good day.
Bye.